Hello, everybody, and welcome to Horror Movie Yearbook, the show with three movies, two guys, and one year. Right?
Yeah, it's like a sitcom in the 90s.
Yeah, exactly. Starring Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
My name is Willie. I am one of your hosts, and with me is my brilliant co-host.
Ryan Reynolds.
Yes, Ryan Reynolds himself.
Tim Long.
Yeah, Tim Long. The man, the myth, the legend. Somebody who I think would deserve a spot in a 90s sitcom.
Yeah.
If I ever knew somebody who belonged in a 90s sitcom, it was you, sir.
Like the wacky neighbor?
Absolutely. Yeah, that goofball neighbor. You just can't stay out of trouble.
Burst into people's houses.
Yeah,
There's a lot of that.
There's a lot of break-ins.
In the 90s, too, which is not a time when people... I mean, we're in modern times now. You don't leave your door wide open for people to walk in. Especially Urkel and Kramer.
Yeah, those guys are problematic. Yep. What's her name? Kimmy from Full House.
Kimmy from Full House, yeah.
Yeah, she used to break in a lot.
Did Cody from Step by Step.
Yeah, he was the most alarming one,
The most alarming one because he was a kickboxer. He knew martial arts.
Yeah. Yeah, he did. He could actually hurt
you. He's a lethal weapon.
Yeah, I like that. Cody's a lethal weapon. Well, anyway, you might not have been able to guess what this show is about. No. First things first, I always like to make sure you can reach us, leave us feedback. If you want to hear more about 90s sitcoms, let us know. I doubt you do, but we will be here to provide that for you. You can contact us on Facebook. It's facebook.com/horrormovieyearbook. We are at Twitter. It's going to be at @HMYearbook. And then you can email us at horrormovieyearbook@gmail.com. So we're in all the good places. Speaking of feedback, we had posed the question, what's your favorite horror movie of 1971? We only received one response.
Yeah.
But it was from, as always, one of our dads, they're always looking out for us. They're always trying to encourage us. And I think that's wonderful.
Yeah.
This one was from your dad. And he said Octoman.
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 Okay.
What do we know about Octoman?
Octoman was in 1971. He seems to be some sort of man octopus hybrid.
Okay, sure.
What's nice is you said it like you said my dad was giving us honest feedback, like he wasn't just trolling the podcast, apparently.
I think he was, right?
Yeah, my dad has never seen this. But you know what? This has costume designed by future Academy Award winner Rick Baker.
Are you serious?
Dead serious. It follows an expedition team that becomes the target of a murderous humanoid octopus. The film received negative reviews from critics upon its release, but has developed a cult following, including my dad, apparently.
Yeah. Now, what if it turns out he indeed is a big fan of this film? Will you rebuke your damning comments about your father's legitimacy?
Yes, but there's no way he's a fan of this film. Mm-mm. I know.
You can't see him sitting down on a Sunday afternoon and watching some Octoman?
No, a couple of these reviews are not real glowing.
No. Okay. Well, hey.
Hey, but it was half made in the United. It's 76 minutes long, and half of it was made in the United States, and the other half was in Mexico.
Oh, good. Good. Well, hey, you know what? If you guys have seen Octoman, please let us know what you thought.
Right.
Maybe we should watch Octoman at some point. I don't know. Probably not, though.
I got an idea for when we could watch it.
Oh.
Yeah.
When's that?
Because I got some feedback, too.
Oh, I'm excited.
From one Mr. Stephen Ching. He's written into us before.
Good old Steve, yep.
Yep. He says, you and Willie should each choose a favorite or terrible horror movie to watch. There are no terrible horror movies, including Octoman. Then you record an episode where the listener can start the film at the same time as you and listen while watching, while you guys discuss / riff on or ridicule the movie. Kind of like a DVD commentary.
Yeah, I know. I like that.
Willie and I have discussed this in the past, actually.
We've talked about that. I think the hardest thing would be deciding on a movie.
Yeah, I mean, the first one we had is like Friday the 13th Part 5.
Yeah, because that's
usually
kind of
what we get together and watch.
That's kind of our movie.
Right.
You know what I mean? In a totally, totally heterosexual way, that's our movie.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a little bit. But it's our movie. And that might be the one, I don't know, we'll see, I guess. I think there are quite a few options.
And are there any rights issues? As long as we don't have any of the noise from the movie in the background, right? We're good?
Right. As far as I know, you don't have to do anything other than record yourself and let them know when to start the film.
Yeah.
And there's no major issues there.
Good.
We're not selling anything.
Good.
So.
Yeah, we have plans to do that, and we may hit that soon.
Yeah, we might get that out there soon. And I don't know if it'll be a bonus episode or if it'll maybe take the place of an episode that week. You know, maybe we should keep commentaries to movies that we've reviewed.
Right.
On here already, that we've talked about on here already. Or maybe we should just kind of go nuts and do whatever we feel like. So.
Right.
I don't know. We'll figure it out.
Look at this picture of Octoman.
Oh, he looks pretty cool.
He's carrying a woman.
What I kind of find interesting about Octoman, I don't want to spend too much more time on him, but sadly we won't be talking about Octomom. But he's the poster and everything seemed like a super throwback to like 50s, like sci-fi goofball, yeah. You know what I mean? Like the crawling eye and stuff like that. But it's 71, so it's a little bit after that.
Right.
You know, it's strange to me that that movie came out the same year as the ones we're going to talk about today.
70s were a weird time.
They sure were. You know what? Speaking of the 70s, I think perhaps we should hop in the time machine.
Okay.
Head on back to 71. Is this the furthest we've gone back?
Yes.
It is.
We've done 76.
So we're going even further back. Guys, I hope we come back. When we meet you on the other side, I hope we're still ourselves.
Yeah.
We still have some of our brain cells left. We'll see. We'll see what happens. Can I get a time machine sound effect? Ooh, I like that. Yeah. There's some soulful time machine. All right. We are back in 71. And there's a lot going on in the world in 71.
Okay, good.
I would argue that this is a more positive year overall than perhaps 76.
Well, 76 seemed to be the culmination of a lot of stuff mm-hmm. that may have started around this time.
Yeah, we weren't quite ready to be destroyed yet. but we were on our way. The NASDAQ debuted on the stock market in 71.
Good.
Kind of interesting, I guess.
Yeah.
I know nothing about the stock market.
Me neither. This is not the place to come for stock analysis.
No.
Here's what I know about the stock market. You wear some sort of members only mm-hmm. style jacket.
Yeah, sure.
And you go buy, 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 sell, sell, sell.
Yeah.
And then you do a ton of cocaine. And run around.
A lot of it. And then like it usually ends in your death.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. By
and they always have someone there to ring the bell.
Yeah.
Some like celebrity.
Who's that guy? Well, is there a bell ringing guy though? Like
there is, I believe there's probably a normal
like
bell
off
ringing
days.
Guy. Yeah, but every once in a while, like, I'll see like a pro wrestler or someone that's got a movie coming out, like ringing the NASDAQ bell,
which is so weird to me.
Yeah, right?
That's people's money. Why are we goofing around with it? I don't know. Whatever. Anyway, China became a part of the United Nations.
Okay.
So
worked out well.
Yeah, go China
for everybody. Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. The Indian-Pakistan War erupted this year. I don't know much about the Indian-Pakistan War, so I'm not going to pretend that I do.
Okay.
Apparently it was a pretty bloody conflict and a lot of loss of life. And it's unfortunate. It makes me so sad to look at, I don't want to get too deep into it, but the Middle East and how much turmoil is for decades, as we can see.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just very sad. Let's see, the voting age. Was lowered to 18 years old in the U.S. I had no idea that it took them this long to make that happen. I really, this one kind of blew my mind.
Yeah.
A little bit. So must have been, I think it was 21 previous to.
Right.
I believe it was 21 previous to this. And I remember my mom telling me that she turned 18 in 78. And she was one of those rare people who, when she turned 18, she was able to drink legally. And then they took it away from her.
No, that's right. Yeah. My parents are the same way.
Yeah. Yep. So I don't know if this was kind of in the or on the exactly like the same time when they switched that up and made it 18. Is the you know?
Well, this is I believe around the time of the draft.
Yeah.
I think it was one of those things.
No, it makes sense.
Old enough to die for your country should be old enough to vote for.
That seems reasonable, right?
Right.
For the person who's sending you over there.
Right.
Of course, the famous Attica prison riots took place.
Attica! That's from Dog Day.
Dog Day Afternoon. Oh, yeah. I love that movie.
It's awesome.
Sidney Lumet.
Yeah.
Yeah, classy stuff. Chris Sarandon, star of Fright Night, plays Al Pacino's gay lover in Dog Day Afternoon.
Oh, he does, doesn't he?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because the whole reason why he's robbing the money is he's trying to pay for Chris Sarandon's transgender operation.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Great stuff. Anyway, 39 people were killed in the Attica prison riots. That's not great stuff.
No,
but let's see. There's a public opinion poll that shows that 60% of Americans are against the Vietnam War.
Okay.
So I actually thought it'd be higher than that. I'm not going to lie.
I believe it probably.
When you look at footage from that time period, and the thing is,
it ended in 75. I couldn't remember when it ended. If it was like 73 or 74, but
yeah. So okay. I guess maybe by a couple years from let's say 73 or 74, that could be significantly higher. I'm not sure. I don't have the data in front of me, so
yeah.
But yeah.
Well, we were pretty deep into it by 71, so
I think
that's probably.
Yeah.
But you got to remember, 60% is quite a bit. For this country.
No, it is a lot. It is a lot. And it just, learning about it, in retrospect, I took a couple of classes on Vietnam specifically on that time period. And you look at, all the, just the amazing movement of anti-war protests and stuff. There's never been anything like that, I don't think, ever, in terms of anti-war protests. And it's, it, for whatever reason, it just seems like so much more of the country was swept up in that. And
yeah.
I don't know, but it's still a lot of people, Greenpeace was established in 71, so that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
FedEx also established.
Oh, good.
In 71.
Good.
So I prefer UPS personally, but, you know, I mean, to each his own.
Me too. I don't remember last time I had anything shipped FedEx.
Yeah, I haven't.
Let's say maybe I'll just do it for fun one time.
Yeah, give it a shot, yeah. You know. Maybe on their anniversary, like figure out when their anniversary is.
Yeah.
Like, here you go, FedEx. Major conflicts involving the IRA in Ireland. This was a huge deal in Ireland. Some call them terrorists, some call them, I guess, liberators of freedom, but the IRA were a huge, huge move. And still, from what I understand, there's still, mm-hmm. you know, still an IRA presence, so I'm not going to get into that right now, but NPR also debuted.
Oh, boy.
Right?
Yeah.
You know what? They've been putting people to sleep ever
since. I was going to say, so nice soft talking for your ride to work. I will say that. Anytime I've ever turn on, it's nice. It's not loud. You know,
no, it's very pleasant.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. I like that quite a bit.
Then there's one woman in the afternoon. I can't remember. She's got a really gravelly voice. It drives me insane.
Yeah,
I used to listen to it on my way to work. I don't really do it much anymore. But then I would go out to my car for a nap, and I'd throw my car on, and in the middle, I could not nap because she was just
gargling at you. I know exactly who you're talking about.
Yeah.
I don't know her name, but I know the person.
Yep.
And let's see. The Pentagon Papers were published by the New York Times.
Ah.
So, anyone. So you know, here's the thing. I got one more little factoid from 71, but I don't want to get to that just yet. But in terms of what we're talking about here, I think what I'm seeing is a mixture of conflict, inner turmoil in the U.S.
right
at the time, which makes a lot of sense with Vietnam,
mm-hmm.
and then I'm actually seeing quite a bit of ingenuity from our country. You know, things like FedEx getting found. Hey, all right, sweet, awesome. You know, or the NASDAQ on the stock market. There's a lot of like stuff that's still in play today. A lot of stuff, I guess, a lot of stuff with like a lot of longevity that came around this time, and I have to wonder if that's if that has anything to do with kind of the weird spot we were in as a country.
I was gonna say this kind of seems like a bit of a transition.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah. And I think the beginning of any, we talked about that, I think when we covered 81, the beginning of any decade is kind of odd because it has one foot on either side of the doorway.
Yeah.
You know, so interesting. I think one foot's in the 60s still at this point. So
Nixon was the president.
Yes.
During this time. Okay.
Which
he's present for a couple more years after this. And by couple, I mean 3 more years.
Let's clarify before before you have to retract your statements again. Okay. Let's talk music and movies.
Let's do it.
Top singles. Do you have any guess whatsoever about it?
No idea.
All right. I'm going to count them down from number 10. These are the top singles. Okay. Ready? Knock 3 Times by Tony Orlando and Don.
Okay.
Knock 3 Times. On the ceiling, if you want me.
Okay, yeah.
Just My Imagination, Running Away With Me, The Temptations.
Okay.
Take Me Home, Country Roads, John Denver.
I like that song.
I'm a big fan, yeah. Go Away, Little Girl by Donny Osmond. I do not know that one.
Of the Osmonds.
I do know Donny Osmond, mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Or Johnny Bravo, the cartoon.
Ooh.
Yeah,
good pull. Indian Reservation, in parentheses, The Lament of the Cherokee Reservation Indian, mm-hmm. by Paul Revere and the Raiders.
Oh, excuse me?
Yeah.
I do not know that.
I'm not familiar with that. How Can You Mend a Broken Heart by the Bee Gees?
Okay.
Always a good choice. One Bad Apple by the Osmonds. What? Two entries for the Osmonds. Well, I guess one solo for Donnie, and then...
I would imagine this is popular among the 40% probably,
mm-hmm.
the approved of the war.
For sure.
Rebels that didn't.
It's Too Late / I Feel the Earth Move by Carole King.
Yeah, I like mm-hmm. that song.
Absolutely. Maggie May / Reason to Believe by Rod Stewart.
No, Rod Stewart. I remember one time there was this kid, just a real quick aside here. Mm-hmm. There was this kid in class one time, and he came in, I was in like 6th or 7th grade, and he came in all mad because he had just watched the Rod Stewart Behind the Music. And the reason he was mad, I never understood him. He kept kicking soccer balls into the crowd, and he's like, it was so stupid. And he wouldn't.
I get it.
Like it sticks in my head as like the most random thing I've ever.
That makes me so happy. I actually talked to somebody about Rod Stewart like 2 days ago.
Yeah.
I don't know how it happened, but neither one of us are huge fans. But keep going, Rod. and then number one was Joy to the World by Three Dog Night.
Yeah, that's a sweet song.
Yeah, which is a nice song for this time period. Mm-hmm. I think. Yeah. All right, let's do the movies. Let's go. Number 10, Bedknobs and Broomsticks.
Okay.
My wife's second favorite movie of all time.
Okay.
Yep. Number 9, A Clockwork Orange, which we should mention.
Yeah.
Somehow, despite the fact that somebody actually brought up A Clockwork Orange on Twitter, we managed to not pick A Clockwork Orange this week. So at some point, we will hopefully get a chance to talk about Clockwork Orange.
Clockwork Orange is terrifying.
Yes.
And there's a part where a man sleeps in bed with a snake that has haunted me.
Yeah, you're not a fan of snakes.
Nope, that's why we didn't do this movie. And we're not doing Anaconda either. Or Hunt of the Blood Orchid.
You like Anaconda.
I like watching clips of Anaconda.
You like John Voight Anaconda.
I like John Voight Anaconda.
Okay, cool, yeah. Cool. Who doesn't? Anyway, so I want to apologize for the fact that we didn't talk about Clockwork Orange. But, you know, I think that it will get brought up again in the future conversations. So.
Yeah, we'll do a Kubrick movie at some point.
Yeah, for sure. Number 8 was Carnal Knowledge. I never heard of that one. Number 7 is The Last Picture Show. Number 6 is The Summer of 42. Number 5 was Billy Jack.
Billy Jack is sweet.
Billy Jack is sweet. Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Number 4 was Dirty Harry. Number 3 was Diamonds Are Forever.
Very manly middle of the pack here. Billy Jack, Dirty Harry.
Oh, yeah. We're going to. And James Bond, yeah. Mm-hmm. We're about to get manlier. The French Connection was number 2.
No.
And then number 1 was Fiddler on the Roof.
Okay.
So
interesting number 1 leading.
Quite a year. And Fiddler on the Roof by a long shot, actually. That made $75 million, whereas The French Connection made 51. Mm. So quite a leap there. Warner Brothers, great year for Warner Brothers. They held 1, 2, 3, 4 of the top 10 spots. And the others were all split. So good job there, Warner Brothers. I think that's it for 71.
Cool.
In terms of events. Like I said, there is one more we're going to touch on later, but we'll get there.
Yes. Yeah.
We'll get there. Let's talk movies.
Let's talk horror movies.
Absolutely. Yeah. There's a few in particular that we're going to be talking about. Let's, you know what? Let's kick things off. I'd like to kick things off with a little Willard.
We're going Willard first? Let's do it.
Let's go Willard. The IMDb synopsis for Willard says, a social misfit uses his only friends, his pet rats, to exact revenge on his tormentors. Willard's kind of considered a bit of a cult classic, mm-hmm. And I guess we're going to find out if we think it's deserving of that. Tim, what did you think of Willard this time around?
First time I think I've seen it, actually.
Really? Okay, cool.
Yep, first time I've seen it. I have seen the remake, the Crispin Glover 2003.
It was pretty big when it came out, that remake.
Yeah, and it was this weird thing where I really wanted to like watch the original, but the original is kind of hard to find on DVD. It was around that time.
Yeah, I think it still is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I never got around to watching the original. I just kind of knew it existed, and I knew the Michael Jackson song Ben existed. And
which is so bizarre to me.
And that's all I needed to know at that time. It gave me a nice primer for the Crispin Glover movie. what did I think of it this time? It's good. I like it better as it sticks in my head, yeah. Like as it rolls around in this old noggin of mine. It's more of a character study than I think maybe I expected. Along with that, in the 70s pacing, though, it's a little bit slow at times. I don't want to use the word slow burn. I am burnt out of slow burn. and I don't think it applies to this either. Because this is more character-based, I guess. And there is stuff that happens throughout, too.
I just think the pacing is, it's got a very 70s-style pacing to it.
It's a different pacing. Maybe the issue I have and what holds me back from loving it is Willard is not my favorite character in the world. Mm-hmm. I don't like spending that much time with him, and I think a lot of that is by design. Mm-hmm. And so it's not necessarily a fault of the movie, it's just a reason why it's not my favorite of these three that we watched. What's interesting to watch as of now is that I don't think Willard is that weird by today's standards.
You mean the character himself?
The character himself, yeah. And that's maybe that's why they cast Crispin Glover in 2003, because Crispin Glover is crazy. Like, he's very weird.
Yeah, well, immediately you attach him to a role, and people are going to have certain connotations with that. It's just going to happen.
Right.
He's Crispin Glover. He almost jump-kicked David Letterman in the head once, right?
The clip is so good.
It's so good.
Thank you for reminding me of that. Yeah, if you have that, just search Crispin Glover. David Letterman.
It's really worth it. Watch David Letterman's face. It's part of the great.
Because Letterman at that time especially suffered no fools.
No. He wasn't putting up with anything at that point.
No.
This was around the time that Drew Barrymore was up on flashing and stuff, right?
This was before that, because that was in the 90s.
Because the Drew Barrymore one, I remember, that was a huge deal when that happened, too. Anyway, totally side note, but watch Crispin Glover trying to kick David Letterman in the head.
So yeah, I guess he's like 70s nerdy, which means like he's kind of, in a way, the person I kept thinking of, like, Peter Parker during this. Like, he's Peter Parker, but Peter Parker, if he were to be kind of a dick and make the wrong choices. We do spoil these movies, by the way, if you're first time listening, so we will get into spoilers very quickly. But yeah, he's more meek than anything else. He's not necessarily like, I mean, he's kind of a shut-in, but he lives at home with his parents. He's got a crappy job, but he still has a girl there that kind of likes him. Mm-hmm. But
there's a flirtation there, at least.
Yeah, but he never really does anything about that. He just kind of, so it's one of those things where, because he's not really, like, there's nothing really mentally that wrong about him, where I don't feel any sort of sympathy for him. Because, like, the whole time, I was like, you kind of know better than to do the things you're doing. And, but that's part of the movie, the point. Just kind of the cycle of abusing people, abusing your power in a lot of ways. Because his boss kind of abuses his power, definitely abuses his power with Willard. And then Willard abuses his power with the rats to get back at his boss in a amazing ending. But at the end of the day, yeah, it's a little too slow for my taste, but it gets good towards the end.
I kind of felt the same way about it. It took a while. I wasn't super into it for the first, honestly, 45 minutes or so even. Like, I was fine with what I was watching. I'm like, okay, I like this works well enough, but I really started to get into it once things amped up a bit, and once we kind of reach the kind of the climate, you know, like the climatic confrontation between Willard and his boss. And I will say that you're absolutely on point there in saying that the Willard character is almost like a Peter Parker type. This could be a superhero like origin story, like a guy who can control rats. Well, you think he can control rats, really the rats are in control, you find out, obviously.
He's but Rat King.
Yeah, yeah, right. But this is a guy who, like, he could have, like, done anything with these powers. He could have, like, used him to thwart crime or stop, you know, like muggings or whatever. Like, he could have done anything, but what does he choose to do? Petty revenge.
Yeah.
He's kind of an asshole, you know? Like, he's kind of like, he just kind of wants to get back at people that tease him. And it's like you said, he's the sad part about Willard, I think, is his biggest issue is self-confidence. Because he's a nice enough guy. Mm-hmm. He gets along well with everybody. I mean, like, he gets along fine with everybody, with the exception of people kind of dogging on him for, like, where he's at. You know what I mean? But he's friendly to everybody. He's got kind of a, it seems like he's got a mostly, like, positive outlook on things.
Right.
You know, like, I mean, he doesn't seem too miserable until he's pushed by people. He just seems like he's kind of lazy and kind of, like,
and maybe that's the scariest part of the movie.
Yeah.
Is that Willard is pretty much, he's essentially what you run into every day now. Willard is an internet troll at this point.
Yeah, sure.
That's kind of what he is. Sure. Like, he would sit at home and, like, read something on the internet.
Like, ah!
And just start typing away like a madman, and then the rats would come over and they'd
hang out with him.
Help him type.
Yeah, they'd type for him.
So that's what kind of what he is. And one of the interesting aspects of the movie is how Willard doesn't have a father figure. And I think
not at all.
Yeah, he doesn't have a father in the movie. And do they say what happened to his father, or
I don't remember them mentioning it. I think they mentioned him having passed away, but I don't recall a specific, you know, time frame or what for it. So
Ernest Borgnine is essentially his father figure in
closest
the movie.
Thing he has.
Closest thing he has, and he's a dick.
Well, Ernest Borgnine, they mentioned multiple times, stole the business when.
Yes.
Willard's father passed away. He, like, swept in and stole the business that should have been Willard's. You know, I'm using air quotes.
Right.
But, you know, is Ernest Borgnine a dick? Oh, absolutely. Totally. He's a nasty guy. But you're also kind of like, well, you know, I mean, Willard's kind of a pushover. Like, he needs to stick up for himself.
Yeah, Willard is a pushover.
But the thing is, even when he gets the chance to stick up for himself, he's still hiding behind the rats. Like,
He sticks up for himself.
He's not getting his hands dirty.
Yeah, and he sticks up for himself in the wrong way, mm-hmm. too. He doesn't like stand up. He doesn't say like, "Hey, enough is enough. Like, quit it."
Well, look at
I'm gonna kill you with the rats.
Yeah, I'm gonna throw some rats at you. And well, that's the thing is like even when he's got this, he's friends with these rats. He spends all the day in the garden, kind of training them and working with them, and all this. And his favorite rat, his buddy, is Socrates.
Socrates, yes,
the little white rat.
Yeah,
and there's a kind of a big turning point in the movie where Socrates is found at Willard's office, and the Ernest Borgnine's character kills Socrates, kind of pokes him with a stick a lot until he's dead, which is kind of sad to watch.
It was really awful.
Yeah, it's kind of rough to watch because I think they actually killed the rat. I don't know. It's one of those times when I think they probably could have got away with it in a movie, you know? So.
The 70s were for that, because the one I remember is Andromeda Strain, and I don't think they killed a monkey, but it totally looks like they killed the monkey.
But they might, right. Yeah, no, I got you.
It's enough.
You question it a little bit because of the time period.
You don't like watching it.
No, I don't enjoy watching it. That's not fun. But Willard could have stopped it. You know what I mean? He does have the ability to stop it, and the only thing that holds him back from stopping it is people laughing at him or thinking he's weird for trying to save the rat. I mean, what else did he have to fear on that in that situation? Nothing.
Right.
That's what he was afraid of. So his own insecurities and his own worry about what other people think about him and how they judge him gets his best friend killed,
yeah.
Essentially.
He lets those rule him.
Yeah, completely. Yeah. And he always does. He doesn't. The thing that I find interesting is when he actually decides to, once again, air quotes, stand up for himself. Really, he's not. He's just putting his friends in a cage and drowning them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's no, it's the kind of the cowardly way out.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, and he winds up paying for it. I mean, in the end, Ben says, nah, to hell with you, pal.
Yeah, Ben, the best character in the movie.
It's Ben.
We should.
Ben don't play.
No. No, well, first of all, we should, I believe that Willard is also racist. I think he treats the white rat with the proper,
Socrates,
with respect.
Yeah.
And he abuses the black rat and Ben.
He kind of disregards old Ben, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he kind of neglects him,
right?
You know,
right?
It's sad,
and it looks like the sequel plays more into that theory.
Yeah,
that Willard is racist because, if I recall, Ben leads an uprising.
Yes,
it sounds sweet. I've not seen it.
It's pretty sweet. Yeah. Anyway, so no, I will say what I like about this movie. That I feel kind of ties into our other two movies is that this is really at its core, it's a revenge tale. It's whether or not you side with Willard in this story, or you're just kind of a character. Like, to me, I didn't side with anybody. I was just kind of observing a story unfold.
Yeah.
You know, I never felt like I was tied to Willard or anybody else in the story. His friend is kind of sweet. The girl that he works with.
Oh,
she's the one who I'm kind of
the actress.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah, she's quite sweet.
She's in a couple Clint Eastwood. I think, was she married to Clint Eastwood or dated
Clint
Eastwood?
I'm not sure, actually. I didn't see that.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, it's okay. There's a sweet moment where she tries to give him a cat, and he turns her down.
Sandra Locke.
Sandra Locke, yeah.
Yes.
Yep, she was indeed married to Clint, I believe.
Yep. Oh my gosh, for 15 years.
Yep. But she's quite sweet. She's maybe the one character in the movie where I go, okay, I like her. Like, she's a nice person.
And I also, I should say that I think that's by design, too.
Sure, yeah. She's kind of the one bright light in his life and really kind of the one bright light character-wise in the movie. And I will say, when it comes to the remake itself, I think they're both worth checking out. I want to mention that. I think they're both worth checking out. The thing you have to remember with the remake is it's like the Marilyn Manson version of Willard. Does it make sense?
I was gonna say the same thing. Where it sounds like I'm bad mouthing the original Willard for being more subtle with its actions, and its themes.
But the remake is so over the top.
The remake is so over the top. But for my personal taste, I kind of like the remake being over the top more because it's a story about a man who uses rats to kill people.
So just go nuts, right?
Yeah. I mean, gotcha. I appreciate 1971. I like it still.
Mm-hmm.
But it maybe plays it a little too straight face
sure.
for me at times.
Sure.
I want to see kind of creepy, crazy Crispin Glover and the rats trying to
just go to town. Like they cast Arlie Ermey as the boss. That's pretty on the nose.
Yeah.
And by the way, Crispin Glover sings a cover of Ben.
I recall
there's
this.
A music video.
There's a music video, and it used to be on. I used to get this channel. It's called Much Music USA.
Mm.
Yeah, and they used to play it.
Good
on
stuff.
Yeah.
anyway, so I think this, like I said, I think this is at its core a revenge tale, and I think that ties a lot into Dr. Fives, which will be the next movie we talk about. And I think also it's a story of repression, and it's a story of this is a self repression. This is a guy who's. Who I don't know what happened in his childhood. We don't really. He seems like maybe he's a little bit sheltered, and like his mother's a little overbearing,
mm-hmm.
a little needy, perhaps, and that might lead to some of that. But I think he kind of imprisons himself a little bit in this movie, and I think Let's Scare Jessica to Death. We see a different kind of repression. So
yep.
yeah, but no, I think overall Willow is worth a look. I understand why it's a cult.
Me too.
Cult favorite. Yeah, absolutely.
But if you're going in. Expecting a killer animal movie, watch the remake.
Yeah,
because it's flat out. This was kind of a rise to killer animal movies too.
Yeah, well, it's funny. This is kind of a nice marriage of the killer animal movie, which became big in the 70s,
mm-hmm.
and the kind of supernatural outcast getting revenge.
Right.
Which, of course, I think Carrie was the pinnacle of that.
Right.
You know. But those were around
nice
for a while.
Yeah. Because he had, like, Kingdom of Spiders, Grizzly...
Yes.
Yeah. Which I will not watch.
No.
You could even throw Jaws in there if you wanted to.
Jaws, of course. Yeah, I mean, it counts.
Jaws is classier. But you know what? Jaws, this has more in common with Jaws than it does with stuff like Kingdom of Spiders and...
Willard's on the classier end of
Willard's
the
going for other, deeper things than a lot of the other ones, which are just animals killing people, which is fun, too.
Which is great, yeah. I mean, go nuts, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've always liked the Nature Gone Bad kind of movies. They're fun.
They are fun.
Yeah. I don't usually rewatch
Night of the Lepus. That was the one I was thinking of with the bunnies.
Yep, Food of the Gods.
Yeah.
Yep, also a good one. Yeah, good stuff.
Octodad.
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 Nice. So, the one little piece of 71 trivia I didn't mention earlier.
Yeah.
Is that perhaps the greatest debut on all the debuts in 71? Walt Disney World theme park opened near Orlando in Florida.
You been to Disney World?
I've never been.
You've never been?
Which is crazy.
I've recently been. I can tell you all about it.
It's the most magical place on earth.
No, New Orleans is. This is second.
Okay.
Yeah. I went to Disney World like last year, and I went on some rides, and I went to Epcot and drank and ate, and then I got my credit card bill. And I went, it's going to be a while before I go back there.
I hear that. That's a common theme.
And then I'll probably end up going back there this year for wrestling. So.
There you go. The most expensive place on earth.
It really is.
Yeah, I've heard it's pretty insane.
And it's full of people. And unless you stop at Epcot for drinks and spend money, you might not be able to handle it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So I'll just say that.
Yeah.
So you kind of have to spend money at
It's
times.
A smart racket.
Right.
They drive you nuts. And then they force you to drink at their establishment.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm sure the drinks are quite overpriced.
And this is Walt Disney World that opened, not land.
World.
That's in California. This is in Florida.
So this is the big one. Mm-hmm. The granddaddy of them all.
Yep.
Where
Walt is frozen.
Yeah. Yeah. Where his frozen
where his head
is
frozen.
Lurking somewhere in the depths. So we thought it'd be fun to talk a little bit about what kind of horror themed theme parks would we like to see.
Mm-hmm.
Like horror rides or horror theme parks, horror attractions of the sort that you would find at Disney.
Right, or like a Universal Studios or something like that. Because we get haunted houses.
And there's like Halloween Horror Nights.
Yeah, Universal does
based
on movies, but they're mostly walkthrough type deals. We want to do actual rides.
Let's go big.
Attractions.
Let's go nuts.
Yep.
Yep, exactly. So, Tim, you want to start things off? You want to talk about one of your... one of your ideas you have here?
Yeah, I had a couple of suggestions, actually. And one of them, my brother goes, man, it would be cool if they did like a Friday the 13th, like a Crystal Lake raft ride. Like a lazy river, I guess, around Crystal Lake. You know what? Maybe a lazy river idea would be good for that. Kind of like you go around, you tour some of the sites, and Jason isn't there yet, possibly. So you just kind of do that.
Maybe you see a dead body or two or something.
Right. Yeah. But if we're doing a raft ride, you're not doing Friday the 13th. I'm sorry. You're doing the burning.
Oh,
right?
My God. That's good.
Yeah. So, I mean, I assume it starts off pretty low key. You're kind of on like a lazy river, and then things start it starts to speed up.
Something's going on.
And there he is. All of a sudden, Cropsy starts showing up on the side.
Oh, what if they like release like a? I'm sorry, I'm jumping in.
No, you're good. You could.
What if they release like a red dye into the water when you get to that part? So you're like, oh, there's blood in the water.
And that's what I was thinking. Like every once in a while, like you get to the rougher part of it, like the choppier part, and then like a hand will shoot out of the water,
man.
Or like a skull, like a head. Like a head, like a cadaver, or like a body, will like
so
shoot
good.
Out, and like you get to that part, and then you end at the cabin or whatever it is at the end of at the end of the burning.
I like
that. You make it through.
I like that. That's so good. Maybe your river guide gets killed off at some point, so you're totally stranded.
Yeah, because you have to have like one of those guys that's on like the PA up at the front of it or something.
For sure. That's awesome. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
The burning river trip. I wanted to mention. I wanted to start with Phantasm.
Ooh.
I think that's worthy of a look. I'm envisioning more of a roller coaster type scenario.
Okay.
And what you would do is you would start off in a hearse-shaped roller coaster, and you'd travel through the graveyard, and like stuff would be flying out at you in the graveyard. Like, you got those creepy little troll guys running around and stuff, and then you've got like the guy with the pickaxe with the gas mask. That like there's all these crazy Phantasm guys.
Yeah.
You get the woman in purple, like... that comes out, stuff to spook you and get you in the mood, and then you approach the mausoleum.
Yeah.
And then you like you drive through a tunnel that's essentially through the mausoleum, so that the coaster actually goes through slowly, and you've got like bodies crawling out of the mausoleum walls and stuff, and then you hear a laugh and everything goes dark and the lights come on and the tall man's at the end.
Yeah.
And he's got the sphere.
Yeah.
And he, like, it comes off his hand and flies towards you guys. Oh, it'd
yeah.
be so sweet.
I like, so this is a roller coaster, right?
Yeah. So it would actually, like, the mausoleum would essentially be shaped like an arch where, like, you go into it. You can't see it from the outside, but once you get in, you're kind of driving straight through it. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I like the idea of that at the end. He goes like, boy. And then he shoots you at the end, to the finish line.
It'd be so cool. It launches you. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that'd be a lot of fun to do, like kind of a short little, cool little ride based on Phantasm.
I like that idea.
Yeah.
All right. Yep. All right. We're rolling now. Okay. Another idea I had from Greg, and my brother Greg, and I just want to throw this out there real quick, and then I'll move on to one of my other ones. But he's like, Final Destination 3, the roller coaster. Oh. And I'm like, I didn't understand what he meant like that. Because that seems like it could cause some legal problems, if I recall, because it goes off the tracks, right?
I think they die.
They all die. So, Greg used to play Roller Coaster Tycoon, and every once in a while, like, I'd walk in and people would be flying off the tracks. So maybe it was a nice relief for him.
This is not something he should be doing.
One of the first ones I thought of this was, there's a ride called the Demon Drop, or there's a Dr. Doom's Free Fall at Universal Studios in Orlando. Basically what it does is it takes you up in this big contraption, and it takes you up top, and then it drops you down so many feet. And that's all it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, man, there's no better property for this than Hellraiser. And it's going to be called like Pinhead's Plunge or something.
Ooh.
Yeah. Plunge into, oh shit, what's it called? Plunge into Hell, I guess.
Yeah, sure.
I thought they had a name for it. Clive Barker has it somewhere in his
place. Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, and I like that. When you're walking through the ride to get to the ride, because they always make you walk through for like an hour to get to the actual ride, which is like 10 seconds long, but like you'll have various painting from Clive Barker's art shows.
Ooh.
And then you'll have a video playing where like Clive is like telling you the story of what's happening.
He's talking to you.
Yeah. And so then he's like, well, what we have to do, we're going to have to take you to the depths of hell. This is my Clive Barker impression.
Yeah,
he's
like
British,
that.
By the way, so
that's
I'm really
good.
Blowing it. We're going to take you to the depths of hell. Be prepared. And then what you do is you get in. Willie helped me with this earlier.
Yeah.
You get in the box from Hellraiser. Is it?
Yeah, a giant version of the
Lament configuration, yes. Yeah, so you get in that and it lifts you up. And then all of a sudden at the top, you look out. And much like Dr. Doom, at the Dr. Doom ride, you see Pinhead. And he goes, he says something pinheady and goofy.
Yeah, he says something like, Jesus wept or something.
Jesus wept,
yeah.
I have such sights to show you below. Yeah. And then it just drops you down into hell. And then you get out and you're in hell and all of the Cenobites are just running around.
Yeah. That's it. Like flames and stuff.
And you're in hell. So the ride essentially ends with you going to hell. And then there's no resolution to it.
That's it.
You're just there.
Yeah. That's it. You're in hell on that.
And Clive is there too. He's like, I told you.
The other one I thought about was The Thing, the John Carpenter, The Thing. I feel like you could do kind of a walkthrough attraction this time, where you would walk through the Arctic snow, like the Arctic base.
Okay.
And you'd have the snow machine going. You had to really bring it in, you know. Mm-hmm. It'd be a little more expensive, I feel like, but it's totally doable. You get a snow machine going, and you actually take a tour through the base, and you see like the aftermath of
right.
of like aliens and people being burned and kind of the corpses of the monsters and stuff. And then you meet some people along the way, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you have to determine which one of them is the thing. And these are all paid actors.
Ooh.
But you don't, and it changes every time. You don't know which one is the thing. And if you know, if you got to, you have to figure out who to trust and who not to trust.
You know what I'm thinking of this? Can I pop in real quick?
Oh, please do.
They have these rides at like Men in Black at Universal Studios where, like they take you around, they give you like laser guns, and you shoot at aliens or like harmful aliens, and then you try not to kill the real ones. And I think maybe that you could work that in, kind of like a pistol, like a shooting style ride.
Yeah,
it takes you around the camp, and you're like, oh, is that the thing or is it not?
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
See, and I feel like if you did something neat where you had like if you had information in the Arctic base that you're walking through, if you spend enough time in there walking through to pay attention to certain key information, maybe there's an ID card somewhere of somebody's.
Yeah.
Or there's like a computer readout of somebody's right there. So you learn stuff about a few of these few people, you know, before you meet them. And then when you meet them, you can talk to them and try and, you know what I mean? Try and figure out which one is not telling the truth.
Yeah.
Which one doesn't, you know. That can be kind of fun.
Yeah.
That way you reward the extra work that people are putting into it. It's almost like an escape room.
Yeah, very much so.
You know, but not exactly. So
very much so.
I think you could do something with that. It'd be a lot of fun.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so
Wilford Brimley is there.
Wilford's there, of course. He's screaming at you, saying, "I feel better now. Let me out, please. I'm all better." But don't let him out.
No, don't.
No, he's dangerous.
You want me to go next? I'll go next. Yeah, I got a couple more here.
Yeah, let's do it.
This was for my girlfriend Amy. She wanted to do some sort of Space Mountain type ride. And there's only one movie we can do that with, Jason X, baby.
I like that.
So I'm trying to remember Space Mountain. Basically, you're in a dark room, and you just go on a roller coaster really fast. Like, it kind of shoots you up, and, like, you're, like, in a cylinder type deal. And
okay.
It flashes lights at you. And that would be a good point to introduce, like, Uber Jason. Like, he's at the top.
Ooh, yeah.
Of the archway as you shoot out, and he's going. And then the whole time, I was at this one ride where you can pick the song. You can pick, you only get to play Let the Bodies Hit the Floor from the Jason X trailer.
Oh my God, that's right.
Even though it's not in the movie, the music of Jason X is really crappy. So
Jason X is a weirdly boring, can I just say, it's a weirdly boring movie considering the concept.
Yeah.
I mean, I still like Jason X.
Oh,
but
love
it. It's a little boring.
Like, no, it really is.
Which is
weird. There are times when they play it really straight face and they think they're making like Alien.
Yeah,
Jason.
Right? It's so strange.
Like, but then there are times of amazingness where like a robot's nipple falls off.
Yeah.
Or Jason. Yeah, we got to work that in the face smash from Jason.
The liquid nitrogen smash has to happen.
I think what happens is maybe it's some sort of 3D ride, and at one point, like you slow down, and you're like, "Here we are. We're at the cryogenic chamber, liquid nitrogen chamber," and like it blows cold air at you, and Jason pops out, and he's like gonna grab you and smash your head,
that's
frozen
cool.
out, but you shoot away.
I like that.
And then the robot, it's like Cal or something.
Yeah.
Something stupid.
KM or something.
KM, thank you. KM's there, and she's like, look out. He's on your six.
Yeah.
He's on your six. And then her nipple pops off again.
Yeah, for sure.
And she starts firing away as you like speed through the rest of the...
That's good.
And then you get to the end, and the awesome Marine that's on the ship. His name escapes me. He's like, "Don't worry, I got him." And
yeah.
He flies through.
They fly to Earth, too. I like that.
Oh, God. Why can't I remember the Marine from Jason?
Brodsky.
Oh, you are you are helping me out right now.
Yeah, no problem.
Brodsky is so
the
sweet.
Fact that I know this is really embarrassing.
I'm happy you're here.
Yeah, that sounds great. I like all these.
Yeah.
I think we could have a whole theme park just dedicated to horror.
Yeah, I think it'd make a lot of money. The kids, the parents would love to take their kids
there.
Yeah,
they'd go nuts for it. Oh, if only that was, there
Do you
was
have
such
any more?
A world. No, I'm good, actually. If you
let
got
me, let
one
me
one.
Rattle off like
go
two
ahead.
Or three
no.
more.
Oh, no,
I got
go
really
ahead.
Excited there, I got. These are quick ones, too, because I didn't have them fully fleshed
sure,
out.
Sure, sure.
The only one I had fully fleshed out was my Freddy 3D ride. Mm. It's one of those, like, you put on the glasses. There's, like, a Spider-Man ride like this. You put on the glasses. You
have to.
Yeah. And
especially with Freddy, you'd want to do the 3D glasses.
You got to do 3D.
Yeah.
And what happens is, like, Nancy shows up from the movies, and she's older now. She's like, listen, we've got to go back to the dream world. We've got to pull out somebody. I don't know. What are the people from?
He's got Wes Craven.
He's got... I wish we could get Wes. And Wes would do this.
He would.
Yeah, Wes would hear our pitch and he would have done it.
I just can we just make sure we include like right before the final part of this ride, can Wes turn towards you and just say, I'm gonna need you to play Nancy one last time. Like
what if we get really meta? And then we start including people from New Nightmare like that, and like we gotta save John Saxon.
John Saxon's in danger.
Robert Shea, New Line producer.
Somebody help Bob Shea, please. That'd be amazing.
So essentially,
he teamed up with Bob Shea. Oh, jeez.
So stupid. So yeah, you go with Nancy, and she leads you through the dream world, and like, there's different scenes for different movies. I wish.
Yeah. What scenes? Give me a couple of the key scenes. First, I just want to say, I think you'd have to have the TV from 3.
You have to have the TV, and I'm gonna say most of it. Revolving around Dream Warriors, yeah.
Yeah, the worm, Freddy Worm.
I like to think at one point, because you're in 3D, you have that part from part two where the kid is dancing around and he pops the ball at the screen. Maybe a Party Time moment.
Yeah, maybe Bob Shea can play his character from part two.
That's right, he's in part two.
Yeah.
You gotta, it mostly revolves, I think it is probably best to revolve around the Dream Warriors characters.
Sure.
I think you're probably at this point going to have to get some different actors to play them in these
sure,
roles.
That's okay.
Or maybe you just use the kills, and Robert Englund will do this, no problem.
Oh, he's totally
done. He would do that, yeah.
What if they give you a part where you get to dress up, like you put on your own Dream Warriors costume?
Right.
Like they give you like a shelf of clothes, and it's all 80s stuff.
Yeah.
And you put it on so you can fight Freddy at the end. And you look super bitchin'.
And then you get Power Glove.
Yeah.
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 I would keep Freddy's dead out of it.
As much as possible, yes.
Unless Tom Arnold wanted to be in it.
Yeah. Well, then include him. But yeah.
So that you get to the end, you're out of Dream World. Two more real quick ones. I want to do the puppet. His name is Billy the Puppet from the Saw movies.
Yeah.
There's a E.T. ride where... The puppet from Saw does ride a bicycle at one point.
A tricycle, though. Yeah.
A tricycle. Okay, I didn't...
It's
just
like the world's squeakiest tricycle.
I'm like, if I remember that from a Saw movie or one of the scary movies?
It's in Saw. Yeah.
It's in Saw. Okay, so essentially it's like the E.T. ride where E.T., in the E.T. ride at Universal, you have to get E.T. back to his home planet and you're on a bike with him. And E.T.'s in the front of your bike in the carriage and he takes you through and you escape. To that.
That sounds incredible.
I'm trying to think of how to work that is. I assume you're going to have to help Jigsaw murder somebody in this ride.
Just remake it, but, you know.
On a bike.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a flying tricycle.
You're like, oh my God, Carrie Ellis is escaping. You're like, there.
Yeah, and then Billy turns to you and goes, let's kill him.
so we have to chase him down on our bike.
Yeah, so you're flying after Carrie Ellis.
Flying. And then we get, and then essentially in the puzzle room is like E.T.'s home planet. Once you catch him,
yeah.
We're like, oh, this is what we're going to do to you. And then you fly through and it's all scenes of you torturing Carrie Ellis.
It's you and Billy's greatest hit.
And the last one, it's not going to follow that, because that's my favorite one so far. I'm glad we unpacked that one. The last one I had was some sort of like, It's a Small World. Through the Rob Zombie universe.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, so like...
Just plays Dracula the whole time.
Plays Dracula and like... they all like speaking like hillbilly, like swearing. language. Like, it's just characters from his movie, like, hey, fuck stick.
They just scream obscenities at you. They berate you until you cry. You literally are not allowed out of the ride until you're done, like, until you start crying.
You feel the dirtiest you've ever felt.
Yeah, you either need to soil yourself or start crying before you're let out. Oh, my God. Yeah. It's just Bill Forsyth just spitting on you and, like... Just being really mean to you.
And then maybe it speeds up a little and they start cranking Freebird like the end of Devil's Rejects.
Yeah. Yeah. Once you escape, they put on some Freebird for you. Can you imagine?
Oh my God. We would get so many letters from parents. Well, I mean, if you're bringing the kids to our theme park.
They'd have to make it smell really bad too.
Yeah, like PBR.
Yeah. Stale sweat. Beer. Stale beer cans, sweat. And, like, kind of cheap barbecue sauce. Yes. That's what the Rob Zombie ride
would... Oh, my God. Cheap barbecue sauce is perfect.
Yeah. That's what the Rob Zombie ride would smell like. And they'd release that mist into the air.
Yeah.
So it really got in your nostrils.
Like a BO type.
Yeah. And then they just dump, like, corn on you. Like, cream corn on you just to make you feel really gross. Like, I mean, hey, I'm just saying. Rob would be into this.
No, yes, he would. He'd especially if we got to play Dragula the entire time. And I assume his wife has to be in there somewhere as well.
Yeah, she can be your guide.
She'll be like your. She'll show up as Michael Myers' mom.
Yeah,
in like some sort of white outfit.
She'll be guiding a horse, a white horse through the. His movies are so funny. Oh, okay, all right.
Let's move on.
That was wonderful. I'm glad we talked about that because I would go to any of these rides. A++. Our second movie tonight is The Abominable Dr. Fibes.
Thank you for saying that title because I can't do it.
Well, I'm glad I could. Starring the late, great Vincent Price. Wait, you know what's funny? Real quick before we talk about this movie,
yeah.
I have not like seen any of his movies pretty much.
Like, who's that, Vincent Price?
Yeah.
Okay.
I feel really guilty.
Okay.
I've seen like Thriller, the music video. the IMDb synopsis says a doctor, scientist, organist, and biblical scholar, Anton Fibes, seeks revenge on the 9 doctors he considers responsible for his wife's death. Yeah, pretty much. He's a very talented gentleman.
Oh, he's got it all.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's a jack of all trades.
He does a little bit of everything.
I'm going to put this out there. He's one of my favorite horror villains.
He's awesome.
He's so, like, he's such a worldly man.
He is. Yeah. And he's very sophisticated. And he's just, he's like, he takes care of business. He's got a plan.
There's a class to him that I think a lot of others lack.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's the exact opposite of like the Sawyer family from Texas Chainsaw.
Yes.
Like, he's the exact. Like,
only a few years later. Yeah.
Dr. Fibes is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really love this movie. It might be my favorite of the three we watched this week.
Cool.
And a lot of that has to do with Vincent Price. A lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
The guy just oozes charisma.
Even in something like this movie where they don't use his voice, like they use it sparingly,
yeah.
And his voice is kind of what people think is his defining quality. It's not in this movie.
Mm-mm.
And he's still awesome in it.
He's super cool. And you're like, you're so intrigued by the character. Like you want to know more about him and you start to learn more about him as, you know, as the investigation unrolls. Because you actually see him before you see any of the detectives on the case. Like, he's the first, like, him and his kind of, I don't even know what you want to, his club.
Yeah.
Because he's got, like, a private club that he just, like, plays for no one in.
Yeah.
Plays for his lady friend.
His lady friend in animatronics, correct?
Yeah.
If I'm remembering.
Creepy animatronics,
tie back to Disney.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the first thing you see. And so you're immediately going, whoa, what am I watching right now? This is the coolest. First of all, it's the coolest set.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want to hang out there. Like, I want to have drinks there and just listen to Dr. Fives play.
Yeah.
I would go, like, have a drink and hang out, you know. Anyway, it's the coolest set. But you're immediately going, am I watching a musical? What am I watching? What is this? And it's kind of dreamlike, but it's like, I don't know, it just sucks you right in.
Yeah, they introduce, yeah, him like that, and then his girlfriend there. What's her name?
I don't
I've
remember.
I've got it somewhere. It's
Volnavia. Okay, cool.
They introduce her with like a dance sequence.
Yeah,
like it's in a horror movie, and I sit here. This is awesome.
It's super cool.
Yeah, he is. When I was watching this movie, and I had seen it before, but it was on like TCM randomly one day, and it was like one of those ones where I like half watched.
Mm-hmm.
Like I had it on in the background because it was like on during Halloween or something,
sure.
Or around that time, and. But I sat down and watched it this time, and the whole time I could think of, the whole movie I thought of the whole time was Saw.
Yes.
Because it's similar, and I'm I'm willing to bet that the writer and director were very heavily inspired by it.
Yeah.
Especially there's a scene at the end with a key or that's kind of like buried in a body, and you can tell.
And it's another, I mean, like the Saw movies, it's a man taking revenge.
Yes.
Well, I shouldn't say that. That's not fair with the Saw movies. It's not a straight revenge, but it's a kind of a, it's him trying to kind of help others.
Right.
You know, in a twisted way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's him, he's got a mission, and it's not just kill people. It's there's more to what's going on.
Yeah,
there.
He's not just a flat out psycho. He's psychotic. He has
with
his tendencies.
Purpose, though.
Yes, but there's a reason for it.
Yeah.
I love this movie.
It's
like,
super
this
cool.
This is one of my favorite ones we've watched.
Mm-hmm.
This kind of hits all my buttons in a way, because I love Vincent Price.
Yeah,
I think he's amazing.
He's
the,
great.
He's the coolest dude. And even in real life, he was really cool. He was an interesting guy. Like, he was an art critic. Like, he was a collector of art. He was a gourmet chef. He did all sorts of things. Like, he was just an interesting.
Well, like
guy.
Dr. Fibes.
Very much so. And that's the thing that Fibes had. So Fibes, like, he's an artist, and I love Jason, but Jason's no artist.
No,
Jason's a brute.
Yeah,
yeah. Freddy's a stand up.
He likes to goof around.
Yeah, he's a goofball.
But yeah, no, Fibes is an artist.
Yeah,
that's the thing is what I love about the I don't want to even call him kills in this movie, but his victims in this movie. You know, obviously he finds kind of a cool pattern with which to dispatch them. You know, using the plagues. You know, the right. The biblical plagues.
I love that he does research before he starts a mass murder.
No, he comes up with a really classy way to like knock everybody off. He's like, okay, like, what can I do? How can I do this? Okay, there's nine of them, and then, you know, he did some research. And, I think my favorite is actually the one with the locusts, how he gets to the female nurse, because it's so, like, you're at that point, you're going, how can he possibly get to her? Like, she's totally,
right.
You know, guarded. There's no way Fibes could make this happen, and he does. Because he's so good at what he does.
I know.
And the bugs, like, eat her.
Yeah.
It's really gross, but it's awesome.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
And you're kind of rooting for him, like, which is kind of mean.
Me too, because I totally am. I'm totally in Fives' corner because he is so artistic. Yeah. Like, I want to see what this guy comes up with.
Yeah. Yeah, like, he's out of his mind, for sure. Like, he's taking this the wrong way.
I wouldn't
way.
Want to wrong him.
No, right. You would not want to do that. But, no, you're kind of rooting for Fives the whole time. You're like, yeah, get him. Now, that being said, on the flip side of that, the police characters, the detectives, are actually a lot of fun too.
No, this is and when I mentioned that it hit all my buttons, this is it's a horror comedy basically.
Mm-hmm, it is,
and it might be one of the perfect ones when it comes to balancing tone, because it is for its time, and it's still kind of creepy in some ways.
Oh, yeah.
But it's funny, and it's like sly humor too, and it's campy, but it's not the kind of camp. There are a couple different kinds of camp, and this is the kind of camp like Evil Dead 2 is camp,
mm-hmm.
where it's everything's kind of exaggerated to the point of comedy. It's not, and it knows what it's doing, but it never winks at the camera. I don't think it did.
No.
Price is he's parodying himself a little bit here, but it's not to the point. It's not over the top parody.
No, it's not. And the cops are doing a little bit of that bumbling cop routine that you see in a lot of movies from this time period.
Right.
But they're doing it, they have their own spin on it. Like, they never, the cops in this never seem like they're idiots or like they can't get their job done. They're always actually they do a pretty good job of catching on to what Fives is doing pretty quickly. This movie takes place over the course of like a week.
Yeah.
Like, it starts, you know, starts on Sunday and ends on Sunday. And, so the cops are—they're good at their jobs. They're not complete idiots, but they're—it's funny watching them try to figure this guy out, because he's so smart and so ahead of them that, like, watching them be the one or two steps behind him every time is so humorous in its nature, because they show up at the crime scene like seconds late and they're like, "Oh, damn it, you got another one," you know. It's a lot of fun to watch, and they're likable. All the cops are likable too.
Yeah.
All of them. So. I like both sides of this one. I like the antagonist and the protagonist. I'm not even sure which is which, to be honest with you.
No, this is and it's an interesting movie too. To put it in its place around this time is because we're in 1971, and we're in a transition period, and we're phasing out. We're even phasing out, and by older horror icons, now I'm meaning like Vincent Price, and
a lot of the Hammer guys, the Peter Cushings.
Thank you. Yep.
David Prowse even was doing a lot of that stuff.
Laurie. So we're kind of phasing out those guys now. Mm-hmm. We're past like Boris Karloff and Bela Lugosi really at this point.
Yeah, those guys are gone.
They're older. And so we're kind of past that. So we're trying to replace a lot of those old monsters. And this kind of harkens back to that in a way. Mm-hmm. But it's also kind of slimy and exploitative, leading into what would come later with like Last House on the Left and Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I mean, there are some elaborate kills. And I don't think this movie is going for really anything deeper than that. Just setting up elaborate kills and then killing people.
No, I don't. It's weird because it's, on one hand, I agree where I, because it does them really well, and are clearly the showstoppers, the centerpiece of this entire movie. But I feel like there might be an attempt here, and I'd have to see more of Vincent Price's work from this time period. But there might be an attempt here to create a sort of anti-hero type character, which is rare for a horror movie. I think that happens naturally on its own. I don't think they invented certainly a Freddy or a Jason or any of those characters with the, they weren't anticipating those characters becoming anti-heroes, because they did. Like Jason is an anti-hero by some point in the series. So you're like rooting for Jason because you're like, he's awesome. Just kill people.
But right. That doesn't have to do with the poor character development.
Of course. Absolutely. But that wasn't the intention.
Right.
Whereas I feel like in this one, there is an intention there to create this kind of cool, mysterious character, almost like the Shadow. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That mysterious comic booky type.
No, that's a cool comparison.
Because he's got kind of a cool outfit, and then he reveals his true face, and he's got kind of a comic book villain looking face. It's funny that I'm comparing both this and Willard to,
Well, this is around the time too when Count Yorga came out, and like Blackula was around the time. They were trying to reinvent those older horror icons for a new age, and I think this is kind of that. They're trying to make a new horror icon here.
Yeah,
basically.
For sure.
He would only get one more. I have not seen Five Rise Again, but.
No, I might watch it.
I'm totally going to.
Yeah.
When I get a chance.
I watched the opening 10 minutes before I was like, okay, I got to take a break from. And the reasoning for him being alive still is really good. the first 10 minutes, it's a voiceover narration telling you how Dr. Fives is still alive.
that's such a funny, sly British joke.
I think it's Vincent Price telling you how.
Is it?
Yeah.
That's really good. Do you know how it ended originally?
You know
how this movie originally ended? The original script had him. It was in Wembley Stadium. And apparently Dr. Fives just sails off in a balloon.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's so good. I wish.
Right?
It's just this happy ending. See ya.
Well, but you know what? It still maintains because Fives laughs over the end.
Mm-hmm.
The ending of the movie. And that's that would start happening more and more as we got later. Like Halloween, Michael would disappear. The Texas Chainsaw Massacre, same sort of ending. They're still out there. So,
well, I know that the sequel deals with Fives. Now that he's got his revenge, he's going to hibernate for a while.
Yeah.
And he's going to wake himself back up so that he can now find a way to bring his wife back from the dead. So now he's killed him off. Now his new goal is to resurrect the wife.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's pretty neat.
The only other thing I wanted to touch on, we talked about his theatrics, but I want to talk about how this movie is gorgeous looking.
It's really pretty.
Like, this it's got kind of that cool, like, late 60s look to it, like, very colorful. Mm-hmm. Reminding me a lot of, around that time period, like a Star Trek set in a way, where it's got colors all over.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous to look at and shot beautifully.
That's the thing with the sets, too, especially his kind of lair. They're obviously sets. They're classic kind of Hollywood, like Hollywood style sets, but they're so beautiful and so well designed. And so, you know what I mean? Like, there is a magic to that. And I think it's Star Trek is a good comparison. The bridge on the original Star Trek, it's a set.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know it is. You look at it now and you go, okay, yeah, that's silly.
Right.
Like, most of it's probably cardboard. But there's a beauty to the design and there's such a simplicity to it. That
every Star Trek set since then is not as cool as the original one. It just doesn't look as cool.
Even the ones in the new, like, J.J.
No, they look like Apple.
Yeah.
Apple designed them. I mean, it's fine. They're fine.
Sure.
Next Gen is boring as hell.
Yeah.
Beige couches. but I wanted to, touch on that because a lot of the movies in the 70s don't hold up well visually for me. The two other ones, like, visually aren't real interesting. Willard shot like a TV movie.
Willard does feel like a TV movie.
You know what? Actually, I'll take that back about, like, Scare Jessica to Death when we talk about that.
There's some interesting stuff going on there.
And but some of them aren't meant to. They're kind of filmed in that gritty way, mm-hmm. low budget type way. So some of them aren't meant to, but this is gorgeous to look at. It's a feast for the eyes.
It is.
It is.
It is.
Do you want some trivia real quick?
Absolutely.
Peter Cushing was originally approached to play the role of Vesalius, the detective.
That would have been cool.
Yep.
Yeah.
But he could.
I kind of like him being younger, though.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
The film was touted as Vincent Price's 100th film. It is not.
Let me guess, it's like his 96th or something. He's really close.
Yeah. No. Like, I went to look for like Vincent Price's 100th film, and nobody has bothered counting.
Yeah.
Everybody's just like, and because I thought the same thing. I'm like, I wonder what it was, and like, I'm like, I'm not gonna count that. Doctor Strange is an homage to Vincent Price.
I did know. I think I knew that. Yeah, and it makes total sense.
And this is the last one. This was a bonus one I found. Keith Moon, the drummer for The Who, was watching this movie on TV when he died of a drug overdose in 1978.
Oh, I can see why.
Right?
I'm fairly certain that if I took the drugs Keith Moon was taking and was watching Fives, I'd be gone right now.
Right.
Which is why I'm not going to do any of that.
No. Yeah,
wow, that's fascinating.
Keep kids off drugs.
That's fascinating. All right. I think maybe it's time that we move on into our third movie.
Let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it. This would be the Let's Scare Jessica to Death.
And, let's just scare her.
Yeah, let's not scare her to death.
Let's just spook her.
Let's be nice.
Let's spook Jessica.
Let's freak her out. That's like the G version.
Yeah.
The IMDb synopsis for Let's Scare Jessica to Death says, a recently institutionalized woman has bizarre experiences after moving into a supposedly haunted country farmhouse and fears she may be losing her sanity once again. I thought I had seen this before. It turns out I had not seen this.
First time for me too.
Okay.
This is one I wanted to do because I've heard a lot about it.
This is the one I was most excited for out of the three. Tim.
Yep.
Was your excitement matched?
Yes.
Good.
Yeah, this is a good movie. It is not as straightforward plot wise as like something like even like Willard or Dr. Fibes.
Mm-hmm.
This is a different kind of horror. This is more going to. This is more meant to creep you out with just weird imagery and
a lot of cerebral stuff going on.
A lot of strange things happening. This is our cloudiest movie since Burnt Offerings. It looks like it's shot in heaven at times.
Or a forest fire. Or,
yeah,
we're not.
Yeah,
really
it's our cloudiest movie until we review some sort of Clint Eastwood recently. Clint Eastwood one. It's very moody. This is all going for atmosphere. A lot of it. It does a great job. This is another movie. We've done a few of these now where you have an unreliable protagonist. You're not necessarily sure if what she's seeing is real. It kind of makes you doubt reality the entire time. It's also another... Have we done some New England horror? I feel like we have.
Yeah, isn't Burnt Offerings New England?
I thought Burnt Offerings was down south.
No, I can't remember.
Let's say it is. It's along the same vein. It's a haunted house.
The Beyond is down south, for sure.
Beyond is down south. I don't remember the location of Burnt Offerings. That's going to bother me. Whatever. You know what I mean. It's a house. It's a haunted house movie in a lot of ways.
Classic kind of haunted house type.
Yep. Yeah. So this is... Yeah, it's interesting. It does deal with some... It reminds me... You know what? It reminds me a lot of... The Beyond, or not? It reminds me a lot of that in some ways, and
it's got a very nightmarish, like it's got a kind of a night, like a dreamscape type vibe to it.
It does.
Everything, and part of that is the mistiness and the cloudiness, but
right.
But it does, because you're dealing with a woman who, at some point in her life, or maybe even currently, has a damaged kind of psyche. There's a dreamlike quality to it that kind of like. Pierces like everything in the movie.
That's
even the simple
for.
Like dialogue scenes feel kind of oddly dreamy.
Yeah, much like that. Much like The Beyond. Don't go into this movie looking for a lot of logic,
mm-mm.
especially on a storytelling level. I think it makes sense at the end of the day, but it's not. It doesn't. The story doesn't really progress that far. It is what it is. She's haunted, and there's the town has a dark secret. But I think there's some cool spins on a lot of things, especially even like vampires and ghosts. Especially vampires.
Yeah, there is because it's it's funny the Amazon synopsis. I rented this on Amazon.
Me too.
And the Amazon synopsis mentions like ghosts and vampires. And I think that's where I started to go, I don't think I've seen this. This is not what I thought it was. And I don't know what movie it was that I thought this was going to be, but it wasn't this. But the vampire thing is interesting. And I'm glad you brought that up. I love... Now, I think there are so many examples cinematically. And I guess... I don't know, I guess in literature too, of messing with the vampire lore. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's fun. I think there's a lot to do with it. I think movies like Lost Boys did a great job of it. I think even movies, a movie like Twilight, like, I mean, I don't love that movie, but it certainly brought the genre a new audience and stuff.
Yeah,
you know?
Vampires are very malleable.
Yeah,
they're like
you can
Batman.
Do so much with them. Like zombies, you can't do much with.
Right.
Werewolves, it's hard to make a werewolf sexy. They tried it in Wolf. You know? Didn't work out great.
Howling kind of does it.
Howling, okay, they're a little sexy in the Howling. Yeah. Okay. But it's rare. Like, that's not, you don't see them attempting that very often. But yeah, they're very, vampires are very malleable. What I like about this, and what I like about usually when they make these little changes to them, are the rules of the vampire. So, this universe, and in the universe of this movie, vampires can apparently just walk around during the daytime. That's a non-issue.
Yeah.
And it seems to me, like, anybody who is bit by the vampire becomes, like, also a vampire, but then, like, a slave to him, too.
Yes.
Like, a kind of almost a zombified slave of the vampire. Very interesting stuff. It's almost
and
like...
They have a gash on their neck, too.
They have a cut somewhere, because sometimes it's their arm. There's a couple guys where it's on their arm or whatever, and there's mm-hmm. a couple where... Yeah, it's a strange cut, and you wonder what that's all about.
Yeah.
Because it's not like a bite. Maybe it's just crappy effects.
They seem to be some sort of vampire-zombie hybrid, in a way.
Because they're following her mindlessly, basically.
Yeah, she seems to be kind of like the
like
the
a matriarch
mind.
Type. Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely. And I find that interesting. I think that's a cool... First of all, she's really cool. The actress's name is Mary Claire Costello. Very cool character. She starts off as kind of like she just seems like she's kind of a hippie wanderer vagrant type.
Yeah.
You know? And you're kind of like, oh, she's kind of sweet. And then you go, oh, one of these guys, you know, probably the single one, which as it turns out isn't the case, is going to totally be into her. And, you know, you're not really sure where it's going to go, but, you know, she's going to have a part to play in whatever bad shit's going down, mm-hmm. whether it's from outside forces or internally. And obviously it turns out that she is the bad guy.
Yeah.
You know, she is the force. But she does a great job of like lowering your defenses. And then the second that she turned like full on, like you're suspicious of her because you're suspicious of something happening in general. Because there's always that air of kind of creepy, that creepy factor. And that goes along with the dream, kind of the dream logic mm-hmm. and stuff. So you're always a little suspicious of her, but you're suspicious of everybody. You're suspicious of the husband, of the friend, of the townspeople. So it is what it is. You're suspicious of Jessica.
Yes.
But there's a moment where she does totally turn on the dock when she pushes Jessica in. It starts off as this kind of playful almost thing mm-hmm. where it's almost mildly sexual in nature.
A lot of this movie is almost sexual in
so,
nature.
Yeah, it's close. It's on the cusp.
It's very suggestive.
Yeah. And we'll talk about that a tiny bit too, because I want to mention kind of what I think this movie is trying to say.
Yeah.
But anyways, when she turns and she comes out of the water in that white dress, she's terrifying. And they really haven't done anything with her makeup. Maybe made her a little more pale.
Mm-hmm.
But she turns from this kind of sweet, like, yeah, she's just a hippie girl just wandering through town to, like, the most menacing thing I've ever seen, like, instantly. So,
yeah.
props to the actress for that. And then I think just the shot composition, that focus on her coming out of that lake, really ghost-like, you know.
Oh, it's a great shot.
It's really cool, really creepy.
Yeah.
Almost looks like an old painting. Like, those old paintings you see of, like, people from, like, the 1600s or 1700s, and you're like, ooh.
Yeah.
Like, no, they're just really creepy. Can we talk about the sexuality thing for a second?
Go for it.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So this movie is totally dealing with repression, like the sexual repression of women
mm-hmm.
and women fighting back against that. I think it's also talking about the changing kind of definition of what is acceptable sexually in culture.
Yeah.
Because we've got a lot of like lesbian tension going on here between Jessica and the vampire. And we've got a lot of stuff going on. We're coming out of the swinging 60s, right?
Yes.
And we're moving into the 70s. And things,
Emily is her name.
Thank you.
Yep.
And the free love, the idea, the concept of free love and the hippies and that movement kind of is still continuing throughout this year and the couple preceding it and the couple following it. And there's this mentality of like, you know, it's all right to sleep with whoever. It's all right to like to me, and it, maybe it's false, but I get this vision of the 70s as kind of chaotic drug fueled orgies and stuff at concerts. Like that's like, I do. So that's part of, that's kind of part of what's going on.
As soon as she says, let's have a seance, you're like, oh, she's a freak.
She wants to get down. Get it, like, so when it's she like, says seance, she means let's
have an orgy.
Let's all bone. Like right now.
It's my favorite line of the movie too, because it kind of comes from out of nowhere.
Well, and I think they pan over to both the guys like, yeah, like let's kind of like, all right, let's see where this goes. Let's see where this goes. And then like the movie, like the big climax of the movie when Jessica's able to escape all the townspeople who are essentially coming in to like run a train on her.
Oh
like,
yeah, it's very interesting that, and I'm glad all the townspeople are male in this too. Mm-hmm. The only two females, if I recall correctly, are Emily and Jessica.
Yeah.
Yeah. The rest are male, so that works into the repression.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. And they're all, if you notice, every single townsperson is an old white male.
Yep.
They're all like kind of that classic like what you would expect when you drive like down south. Like the kind of guys that are hanging out in front of the corner store just like, you know, sipping on a soda and, you know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
There is a and this plays into kind of what you were saying, kind of a little bit of, there's a culture clash in the movie between the townspeople who are essentially the World War II generation,
yes.
It seems like, and then the kids who are kind of hippie-ish, they're baby boomers, I believe, would be the correct age. And so there is a bit of a culture clash between the way they live their lives. And I think that may play into the sexuality of the movie as well.
For sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So, I don't know. There's a lot going on there. And the movie essentially ends that last bit where she escapes them, essentially ends with her. It does end with her, another woman, and her husband in bed together.
Yes.
And they're both, you know, vampire biting her, but it looks very sexual in nature. Mm-hmm. And she's like, you know, she's able to escape the
grasp. Are people watching at that point? Are the townspeople in the room as well?
They're standing around watching. Yeah. They're gathering around all watching. And they're looking very, like, weirdly, like,
so yeah,
kind of into it.
Yeah.
You know. So there's
like
there's
pornography for them.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to me. I think we could dig really deep into that. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of it's pretty much right on the surface, but I think there's a lot more you could dig into with the idea of these older white townspeople watching this heinous act that they would totally be disparaging of, like outside, but behind closed doors they're like
they're into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's something going on there.
No, I think
there might still be something going on there today. Anyway, but I think this movie has some stuff to say, and I think that makes it overcome a little bit of the 70s pacing, because there is a bit of that in this too.
There is.
It moves pretty slow.
Vibes
up front
is the best paced of these movies.
100%.
Yep.
100%. That thing goes.
Yep.
This one is I wouldn't say as slow as Willard, but it does take a while to get going, and there are moments where you think maybe you're ratcheting up to something and maybe it pulls back again before it, you know, goes full on. Totally worth a watch, though. I think all three of them are worth a watch. And
I do, too.
I think this one maybe has the most to say out of the three. So
This has the most thematically. Yeah. This is the most thematically interesting, I think, of the three. The only other part I want to touch on, you kind of hit the nail on the head with everything. Creepiest moment. Do you have a creepiest moment of this movie?
It's her coming out of the water. That
coming
when
out of
she
water?
First walks out of the water, because I was alarmed by it. Yeah.
That is creepy. The creepiest moment for me, and actually kind of screwed with me, is I think it up in the attic,
okay,
where there's like a shadow that's kind of following her around behind her.
It's watching
it's
her.
It's so creepy.
It's really creepy.
It's really well done.
Yeah, because then they kind of insinuate that it was her husband there the whole time, but it totally wasn't. That was not him.
Yeah, that's an awesome shot.
Yeah. And there, if there is one thing, one drawback I'll say about this, it's not that the lead actress is Zora. Let me look up her last name real quick. I hate to.
It's yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, getting pulled up. Yeah,
Zora Lampert.
I like her quite a bit. I've seen her in other things before. I don't recall what they were, but I know I've seen her in other movies. And though I do like her, she plays Jessica a little too mentally unhinged the whole time. I think it was a conscious choice. She plays Jessica like so spacey and kind of like out there that it's hard not to look at her and think she's totally out of her mind.
Right.
Which might have been intentional, but makes it easier for me to like jump into the role of the husband where he's like, he immediately, you know, like his immediate conclusion is she's going crazy. And I don't blame him because I'm like, she's acting like kind of a maniac right now. Like, so that's,
yeah.
I wish maybe that it would have been the direction with the Jessica character would have been a little bit more subtle and less like flighty and like, ooh, look at the beautiful flowers and kind of like a space case.
Yeah.
Because she's a little bit wonky there. But I still like the actress quite a bit. And overall, I do enjoy the character. But there are moments where I go, what is wrong with this woman? Like when she sees the little mole and she wants to keep it. It's very strange.
Oh, the mole thing is a bummer.
Because they totally killed it.
They totally killed that mole.
Yeah. There's a lot of animal death in 71 in these movies.
There is.
But anyway, so totally worth a watch, though. Yeah.
Yeah, I like it a lot, too.
This is the only one we should say, the only one that's really easily available to watch.
Yes.
This one is on Amazon for rental. The other ones, you got to figure it out.
Yep.
So
they will be releasing something soon for Willard, though.
Willard is having a Scream Factory release, yeah. I think.
Vibes, yeah. You can find on like a double disc somewhere. I would assume at some sort of used DVD shop.
Is it on those Vincent Price collections that Scream Factory released?
Let's because
it might be. If I can pimp out Scream Factory at any point in time, I do.
Well, yeah,
because they're a wonderful company.
While I do this, Willie, I want to. We've had a couple requests. I want to do this real quick. You know, we don't have to spend any time on it, but some people wanted to hear some yearbook awards. Some like most likely to.
Oh, really?
Okay. Awards. Sure. I've gotten a couple requests for those. So I want to know, like, who is your most likely to... We'll do most likely to become a millionaire.
Out of these three movies here?
Yeah, we'll do these three movies. Because, honestly, my 1971... You can throw in if you've seen any in 1971 else. But my knowledge of the 1971...
Oh, Fives is the most likely to become a millionaire.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, the guy, it's like you said, he's a jack of all trades. He's a quadruple threat.
It is on the... Shock Factory.
So there you go.
Scream Factory.
There are three Vincent Price collections, which I will now actually look into buying.
It's a sweet collection.
They're all super cool. There's
Pit
three.
The Pendulum, Mask of the Red Death.
Yeah, which is fantastic from what I understand.
Yep.
So
yeah, I'm going to go with Fives there too. Fives might be most likely.
I think he already is a millionaire, actually. I like he seems like he's doing okay.
Most likely to become a nun. I'll say Jessica.
Yep.
I'll say Jessica because I seem like... That could be something she retreats to after this horrific ordeal.
I would agree.
Yeah.
Yep.
There was one more I wanted to do. Let me try to find it here.
I like the ending of Let's Scare Jessica too because it's I swear it's like the Shane ending. Really? Like, do you like that?
Yeah.
Where she's like floating and then like she kind of slumps over and
yeah.
It's like the classic Shane ending where you're like, is she alive? Is she dead? That's
kind of funny. Oh, this is what I want to do because we can give one most likely to rule the world.
The easy go-to would be Fives, of course, but I'm going to give it to Emily.
Okay, that's a good choice.
I'm going to say she can make it happen.
But it's Ben from Willard.
Oh, yes. Oh, you're right. Yep.
So we'll try to come up with some of those.
Man, what a team that would be. Emily, Fives, and Willard.
Oh, my God.
What if Emily and Fives got married? Like
Fives,
he was able to...
Yeah, I think Fives would be into Emily. No doubt.
He'd like her quite a bit.
He would get tired of Willard's constant whining, though.
No, I'm sorry, and Ben.
Ben. Oh, Fides and yeah. Ben. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, Ben's their pet. Like, their friend.
Right.
That'd be a cool combo right there. I think they'd live happily ever after in some creepy gothic mansion.
Right.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Cool.
All right. So, thank you guys so much for listening. We are very happy to have you here this episode and every other episode. Please send us feedback. We would love to hear from you. Hear what you'd like to hear on the show. Give us some suggestions for movies, for years, segments, whatever you want to do. Good feedback, negative feedback. It's all good for us. Anything we can do to make the show better for you, we would appreciate hearing about. You can do that, facebook.com/horrormovieyearbook. We are at HM Yearbook on Twitter. You can also get a hold of us. We're horrormovieyearbook@gmail.com. If you're going to send something lengthy, that's the best way to do it. Definitely do it that way. Please, by all means, subscribe to us on iTunes. And please leave a review. 5-star if you could would be great.
Yeah.
The more...
We have no problem telling you what to rate us.
Yeah. The more ratings and reviews we get and the more subscribers we get on iTunes, the more visibility that people have when searching for podcasts. And if you enjoy this podcast... there's got to be others out there who would also enjoy it. Mm-hmm. So we would love to have more people find us and keep spreading the Horror Movie Yearbook love. Tim, are we going to announce what our next episode is?
We're going to do it. I'm going to.
Okay. Tim gets, if you tuned in last week, you'll know that we kind of swap every week. And last week was, or this week rather, was mine.
Yes.
So I was nice enough to let my wife decide, and she picked 71. Sadly, we did not watch the movie or review the movie that she asked us to watch or review because it's a prequel, and it felt weirdly tied.
It's a prequel based on a novel. If I
yeah, it was. It was a lot of. It was like Inception.
It was too much.
It was too much. So we didn't go with that. But Tim, you get the pick this time, and I hear rumor has it you're going with an 80s pick.
I'm going 80s, because if you listen to this podcast, you'll kind of start to realize Willie's more of the 80s guy, and I'm more of the 90s guy, and I've picked two 90s, and I want to jump in on Willie's territory and pick an 80s one. And then I'm going to be even worse, because I'm going to pick, like, probably his favorite year.
Uh-oh.
You were born? Or you born in 86?
I was born in 86.
Okay. This ties in, because my girlfriend was born in 1987, so the last 2 weeks have been nice little tributes.
So you're going with 87?
I'm going with 87.
So every movie in 87, obviously, is going to have an anniversary this year. Because we're in 2017.
Crap, you're right.
That'll be what? How many years is that? God, I can't do math. Is that 30? Or is that 40?
That's 30.
Okay, thank you.
That's a big
attention. Oh, yeah, 30. I'm 30. Why am I asking that question?
I just kind of stared off and thought about it for a second.
Yeah, that was good. We can do
you no
this.
Help.
This is not a math podcast.
So here's what we're looking at here.
Okay, 87. Let's
87.
Hear
oh my gosh! And this is just pulling off of Google like we normally do. But okay. Hellraiser,
oof,
the best. Nightmare on Elm Street Part 3,
oof.
Evil Dead 2,
oof.
Lost Boys, Near Dark, Monster Squad,
oh.
House 2: The Second Story, which I've seen, but I don't think we're gonna do.
Nah, I think we can safely say it's not gonna be the one.
Blood Diner. Which is nice. Prince of Darkness, which is amazing.
Oh, man.
Creepshow 2.
Oh,
like,
man.
We're on the second page right now.
And it's still awesome. Just as good.
Creepshow 2, Predator, Bad Taste, Street Trash, which is amazing, and we won't do it, but if you have not seen Street Trash, please see it. Stage Fright, Slumber Party Massacre 2. Oh, my God.
No.
Here's what's going to happen. Hello, Mary Lou, Prom Night. The Gate.
Oh, man.
Necromantic, The Video Dead.
We will not be doing
Necromantic. The Stepfather. Oh, my God. Return to Horror High. I could go on, and I think I probably have.
It's so good.
So what's going to end up happening next week is we're going to pick three movies, and I'm betting we're going to talk about a lot more. The next week, I think, is probably going to be very movie-centric.
Yeah, and 87 is going to be revisited at some point.
Yes.
There's too many movies on there.
It's too good.
You know, and that's the thing is it's tricky because, you know, I don't. When we pick movies like this, I try not to do too much franchise stuff if we can avoid it.
Me too.
That's the silent promise I've made in my own head. Mm-hmm. But there might be at least one on there that's going to be a franchise one.
It's so tough.
We'll see. I don't know. It's going to be very hard. It's going to be very hard because
yeah, though it's good. I'm going to pull for one of those first three.
Yeah, let us know what you want to hear about too. I can't promise you it'll be the one we pick, but. You know, maybe you could help us make a decision,
right.
You know, for sure. So, yeah, thanks again, guys. We will catch you all next time, couple weeks from now, when we journey back to 1987, when I was a wee lad, and you were a wee lad.
I was three.
I was one.
My brother was born this year, too.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Cool. Wee babbies.
Yeah.
All right.
We weren't watching any of these movies.
No, I had like another year before I'd start watching this stuff.
Yeah. In 88.
Yeah. All right. Thanks again, guys, and we will see you next time.
Bye-bye, man.